tomorrow.
Bless him, Lord.
I'm holding my last breath.
Bless you, brother.
Goodbye, sweet world of sorrow. My new life begins with death.
Bless him.
I am standing on the mountain. I can hear the angel's song.
Appreciate the card y'all gave me last Sunday. I appreciate that. Landon come up here and handed me this. I bought his breakfast. I don't know what it was. But we're going to find out what it is. Amen. All right. Like a good coffee cup. Hard to beat a good coffee cup. Amen.
Amen.
He chose that coffee cup. Just saying.
Careful, you may be in my sermon. That might be true. Especially today, man. Donnie just asked me if the Lord changed the message. And I said, no, he ain't. I kind of wished he would, to be honest with you. I'm just a messenger boy. Don't forget that. But he hadn't. Let's see what we got here. Figure it out. Joy did a good singing there, Brother Eric. One of these days we'll make our exodus. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Go to our promised land. Hallelujah. Yeah. Says, Pastor, thank you for having the heart of a servant.
Yeah.
leader for teaching us and loving us as we grow in relationship with Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And let me tell you something about a pastor. He's supposed to love you. He's supposed to provoke you and encourage you to keep going for God.
Amen.
I mean, I know we got a lot of hacking going on this morning. I wasn't expecting five people to be here this morning. I couldn't blame you if you didn't show up. I mean, do you? There's everything you name being thrown at us right now.
That's right.
I don't really understand why man just can't leave things alone, but he can't.
That's right.
I heard through the grapevine that they're developing what's called super colds, super flus, super viruses to unleash upon you and me. And the main reason for that is so they can get you money. They know you're going to pay the price to get your nose to quit draining, to get quit coughing, to get quit aching, to get the feeling better. Donnie, he works for a pharmaceutical place, and I worked for one for 10 years. Let me tell you something, I don't have no problem selling pills.
Amen.
They put a short date on them because they don't want them to last too long. They want you to pay to come and buy more.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
But I thank y'all for the card. Thank you for the nice plaque, for the nice coffee cup. I will definitely utilize both of them. We're taking our text this morning from Psalm chapter 55. Going to read quite a bit of scripture in that chapter. We were going to preach this message last Sunday, trying to be obedient to the Lord. We preached about what would you leave behind. I left behind, I think, what the title of our message was last Sunday. We're going to read about 17 verses here in Psalms chapter 55, starting in verse number 1. And it's a psalm of David, the man after God's own heart. And he says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy." We do have an enemy down here. "Because of the oppression of the wicked," and we do have that even today going on down here. "For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me." And they accuse you of hating them, but actually it's the other way around. But anyway. "My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me." We got Halloween coming up next week. There'll be a lot of people pretending to be ghosts, goblins, and skeletons and everything else. David here says, "And horror hath overwhelmed me." And then here in verse 6, he said, "And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." That's what we all want, somewhere we can rest. Amen. "Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city." It must have been talking about Portland or Chicago. I seen on the internet this week, I think it was a 27-year-old mother was reading the Bible to her 7-month-old daughter, and somebody outside the house shot her through the window and killed her. And made me think about that scripture, Psalms 116, verse 15. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." And one reason it's precious, her troubles are over. Her problems are done. It's sad to hear that and see that. But David said, "I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city." I don't want to see it, but we've all seen it. Mm-hmm. One reason we got so much violence and strife because they don't want no law.
Right.
They want to defund the police. I seen where a Marine was in this store, and two guys come in. One of them had a gun going to rob the store, and that Marine just happened to have a Gatorade in his hand. It didn't take him 2 seconds to take that gun away from that boy and slap him upside the head with that Gatorade while that other boy ran out the door with his pants halfway down like they do nowadays. But I guess we're going to have a defund the Marine thing coming up now. You know, no one wants to prevent crime. They want to promote crime. He said, I've seen violence and strife in the city. Laws are good when they're enforced. He said, day and night, they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Our cities aren't going to get any better until we stop pulling statutes down.
That's right.
Until we stop rewriting the laws. Until we let the law enforcement officers enforce the law. It's not going to get no better. He said, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then could I have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then would I have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my God, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. I'll just tell you right now, they want the churches to fight one with another. They don't want you to have the peace of God. They want you to be like them. The Bible said, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. They don't want you to have peace. God wants you to have peace. But David here says, we took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quickly, or go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Boy, ain't you glad about that?
Amen.
I don't know no other place of safety. I don't know about y'all, but when I pillow my head at night, I say, Lord, I'm going to sleep. You're in charge. He that keepeth us, the Bible said, neither sleeps nor slumbers. He keeps us as the apple of his eye.
Yeah.
And then the last verse here, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. I'm glad not only that we can pray, but I'm glad God can hear our voice.
Amen.
I'm preaching today on loneliness, and we'll be a while getting the foundation of this message laid. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for so many people that are here today. Lord, I'm guilty not thinking there wouldn't be 5 people here today with all the sickness and all the sniffling and coughing and colds going around, Father, this time of year. Lord, that COVID got Denny and Sue, and Lord, we're praying for them, and Lord, we're praying for Daryl, and Lord, we just pray for so many, Father, Phyllis, Lord, that failed, so many, Lord, Brenda, Lord, sick. So many, Lord, that would be here, Lord, if they could. We pray for them even now. Lord, we pray, Father, Lord, you'd help us in this message, Lord. In my heart, Lord, I tremble just a little bit, Lord, that I would be able to deliver this message like you give it to me. Help me, Lord, I pray, with clarity of thought. Lord, with anointing from on high. Lord, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, deliver this message. And I thank you, Lord. I pray you preach to me. Pray you preach through me. In Jesus' name we'll ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Loneliness. You don't have to be too old. I've heard little children say this right here. Leave me alone.
Right.
And Sister Bonnie, there was a teenage girl about 16 years old. You know, about 16 years old, you don't really know much of nothing. You think you do.
That's right.
But you don't really know much of nothing that you need
Amen.
To know.
That's right.
And she made a terrible choice of words. Here's what she said. She said, God, you leave me alone. and I'll leave you alone.
Mm-hmm.
And Buddy, all of a sudden she realized that was a terrible choice of words.
Amen.
You know, I want God to be able to be easy to find. The Bible said He's not very far from any one of us.
That's right.
And the Bible said we'll find Him if we fail after Him. He's not hard to find. He's not far off. He's not very far away from any of us. And that's the way I want God to be.
Amen.
But her choice of her words, she insulted the Holy Spirit of God. And it hurt. She didn't live much longer after that. On her deathbed in the hospital, as they pleaded with her, she said, "You don't understand. I've done something stupid. I told God, you leave me alone, and I'll leave you alone." And boy, she died a terrible death.
Amen.
You see what I mean? You got to be careful with the one that holds eternity, because we got much to do with Him.
That's right.
In Him we live and move and have our my
Amen.
Breath.
Amen.
Is really the grace of God gives us the heartbeat that keeps us alive.
That's right.
I mean, the life of the flesh and the blood. Mm-hmm. We live because blood being pumped right now. Now you can do like me and Donnie did, eat a big T-bone steak mm-hmm. yesterday, clog your arteries up, pay the price for it, but what a way to go, amen.
Amen.
But she made a mistake. Leave me alone. And sometimes in an emotional moment, you know, the wife may say to the husband, "Leave me alone." And the husband may say, "I just want to be left alone."
That's
and
right.
As easy it is to say those words, you don't really need to be left alone.
Right.
You don't really mean it. I mean, I've said it myself.
Amen.
You don't really mean it, but you say it anyway.
That's
you actually want someone to have sympathy on you. You actually want someone to come and to comfort you, but you say, "Just leave me alone."
Right.
We've all done it.
Right.
Don't look at me like a calf looking
right.
at a game of ball
day.
Amen. Yeah, I've done it a bunch. Just dumping a box of rocks when
that's
you do
right.
it, but you know we do that. Just leave me alone. And that's not what we need.
No, that's not what we need.
God that made us in His image, He's the one that said it's not good for a man to be alone in Genesis chapter 2.
Yeah.
It's not really what you need. It might be something you might say, but it's the furthest thing that you need. We need companionship.
Amen.
We need
right.
fellowship. And you better be careful what you associate
that's
with
right.
because I just want you to know, but it can corrupt you. And you know what? My people that I grew up with, my friends I grew up with, I'd like to say they corrupted me, but actually I corrupted them. I mean, they went to church and everything, but I didn't know God. I didn't know what I was doing. And being rash with my words, I got them out of church, and God being merciful me, got me in church. But this term, just leave me alone. That interaction and communication is necessary for mental health. They put people in solitary confinement and they just go stark raving crazy. They go mad. They lose it. They don't know how many days they've been there. They don't know what time it is. And it takes its toll on them. I mean, I like seeing the sun come up. I like to see it go down. I like to see the moon come out. I like to see the star. I know what time it is to go to bed. They don't know nothing in solitary confinement. They go stark raving mad, says Joel. We need interaction. We need fellowship. We need communication. Man, I hate that silent treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Does Carol ever give you that little silent treatment?
Amen.
That wasn't fair to ask that. I mean, we've all had that.
I give him some.
We've all had that. Yeah, we've all had that cold shoulder. You know, what's wrong?
Right.
Nothing wrong with me. And, we've all had that. But we need that interaction. We need
right.
communication. We need to have. TV is not really. It's kind of like imitation.
Right.
But we spend time in front of it, don't we?
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, that verse that says, "Where there's no vision, people prayers," that's not talking about television there. That's talking about God speaking to a man for doing something to him.
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, we need that interaction. We need some kind of communication, some kind of fellowship. The Bible says, "Woe to him that's alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." And last Sunday, Phyllis fell outside. But she had Mitchell with her. Mitchell come in here. We didn't know it. Mitchell come in here. Y'all helped me. Phyllis just fell out here and we all went out there and helped her up. But can you imagine falling and nobody's around?
That's right. Amen.
That young girl that this boy left out there in the park, Gabby, I can't remember her name.
Potato.
Yeah, whatever her name. Well, he left right there.
Sure he did.
Then they found his bones. Somebody left him. There's a whole lot more there. You'll find out later. These guys that do the forensics, they know more than people give credit for.
Right.
And they know that his body wasn't there. It was brought there and left there. You'll get that here later on. It's coming. But anyway, thank God Phyllis had Mitchell there. Mitchell come in here and we went out there and we helped her up. And then she got all cleaned up, you know, and put some ice on her. I think Carolyn went and got her an ice bag. And we helped, you know. But the great Creator, when He mentioned it's not good for a man to be alone, He knew companionship was needed. And, by the way, did you notice He made a female for Him? Amen. He didn't bring Adam and Steve together. He brought Adam and Eve together. Amen.
Right.
Yeah. That Pete Buttigieg, he's been on maternity leave now for 3 months because they adopted a pair of twins. And, you know, we're just supposed to accept that. I'm sorry, I just can't. And, you know, God doesn't accept that. As soon as we finish up the book of Daniel, we're going to the book of Revelation. It's going to take us a while to get through chapter number 1 because it's right up to date with the hour we're living in. A lot of this nonsense being promoted in our schools. I'm just telling you, buddy, we're in trouble. And we're in the worst kind of trouble that we could be in. We've left God out of everything that our children need to grow up right. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he'll go when he's old and not depart. And it says a child left to himself will give his mother shame. You know, we just need to teach them right. And train them up and love them, pray over them. And they need that interaction. Even a little baby. You know, it may not be able to communicate, but it needs that interaction. It does. They grow better. God, when God called out, that was in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 25, which tells about the marriage and everything. But after the fall of man, did you notice God called out to Adam? Adam, where art thou? Now, Adam, I believe, and God had been having sweet fellowship. You know what separated that fellowship? Sin.
Sin. That's right.
Bible says by one man in Romans chapter 5, by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and that's passed on all of us. Thank God for
that's
the
right.
second Adam. Amen. He took death, praise God, conquered it, took his body from death, conquered death, gave us eternal life.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Told me I could come live with him. I'm looking forward to moving up there, Brother Mitchell. Amen. Man, down here, we're trouble on every side. Down here, buddy, I mean, it just seems like just get further and further behind. But praise God, up there, we'll have more than we know what to do with time and resources and riches and everything else. But God called out, Adam, what art thou? You see, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Bible says the Lord will not hear me. So before I pray, first thing I say, Brother Ed, I say, Lord, forgive me my sins. Wash and cleanse me right now from all sin. Even today, deliver me from evil and temptation.
Right.
Then I try to pray. And when I say try to pray, I just tell God, you know what I want Him to hear.
Right.
I want Him to protect me. I want Him to lead me in the paths of righteousness. Well, name and say, guide me through this course of life. I don't know how long the days I got. But if I knew I was going to live about 30 more years, I'd want to make the best of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I want God to help me. I want Him to bless me. I want Him to use me. And I'm asking for that help. Amen.
Amen.
So God's calling out to Adam. Adam's in trouble. Adam knows he's in trouble. And God's trying to help him find out that he's in trouble. When God says, Adam, where art thou? Adam's answer was, I hid myself because I was naked, and God being the loving great Creator, he said, who told you he was naked? I mean, God already knew he'd eat of that tree that he told him not to eat of. But he said, who told you he was naked? Have you eaten of that tree I told you not to eat of? And then went the blame game. But anyway, to have fellowship. Sin had broken the fellowship between Adam and God. And even with us, to have fellowship with God, we got to walk in the light as He's in the light to have fellowship with God. Because in God is no darkness at all. You just can't mix it.
That's right.
They're two opposites. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. An older preacher, he done graduated this life, but he'd read the Bible through something like 80 sometimes. Wow. Gave a lot of debates. If you ever seen on TV that thing called Chalk Talk, that was Peter Ruttman. He'd draw a little bit with the chalk, turn around, preach a little bit, and he'd draw a little more, and he was a tremendous artist. But he mentioned about going to New York one time on New Year's Day. He wanted to watch that ball fall. And Larry, he's up there, and I mean, it's shoulder to shoulder. I mean, we're talking about in the greatest crowd that you could possibly be in to watch a ball fall. You know what he said, Brother Ed? He said, "That's the loneliest I've ever been in my life." Right there with all the company that he was in, he was lonely. He couldn't relate. He didn't know any of them. And you know, we can get lonely down here.
Yeah, right.
I believe his brother Jerry sung that song, "He's a Friend." Lily of the Valley.
That's right.
Man, praise God that He loves us, wants to fellowship with us, wants to spend time with us. Amen.
Amen.
I remember one morning I was in a hurry to go to work, Carolyn. I just remember seeing this little thing laying on the kitchen counter, and it was called the letter. And as I read it, it's talking about I wanted to have fellowship with you, but you're in a hurry. And I waited hoping that you would spend some time. I mean, I just broke. I mean, I can't even go to work. I'm trying to get my face cleaned up or I can go to work. But how true that is, that the Lord wants fellowship with us, but we're in such a hurry. We can't slow down to have fellowship with Him. We're on such a tight schedule. Man, Donnie was talking about eternity in heaven yesterday. And I told him, I said, one of the blessings of heaven is we'll get to slow down.
That's right.
And I mentioned some friends of his. I said, you'll have time to spend with them.
Yeah.
Down here, we're on such a short, I don't know, leash. You know, we just got a... I followed somebody up here and they was in a hurry. No, I was in a hurry and they wouldn't. And you know what? But that's the way we are. But Peter Ruttman said that's the loneliest he's ever been was when he was up there to watch that ball fall in New York. He said it was the biggest waste of time of anything he ever did, neither. But he said he wanted to do it. He found out after he did it, it's a big waste of time. You remember that movie, Cast Away, had Tom Hanks in there? He's stranded on an island. He takes a soccer ball, big bloody handprint, makes it in the face and talks to it. I'm just telling you. That's kind of the way it is.
That's right.
You want fellowship. You want to have some kind of relationship.
Right.
Sometimes I think my wife thinks I'm a soccer ball. She talks to me like he did that soccer ball. Amen. Jonah mentioned in Jonah chapter 2 verse 4, he said, "I am cast out of thy sight." Jonah's in the belly of a whale. Jonah's going down, down, down. And as he's going down, he's thinking, right, Bonnie? You know what he's thinking? About the fellowship of God.
That's right.
He's saying, "I wished I could get back in touch with God. I wish we could have sweet fellowship again."
That's right.
But his appeal is, Mitchell, "I'm cast out of your sight." You're never out of the sight of God.
No. That's right.
But sometimes it feels like you are. Sometimes it feels like you are. But let me say, the loneliest place that there is a place called hell.
That's right.
Now, I don't want nobody to go to hell. God doesn't want nobody to go to hell. Matter of fact, He told us in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, that He made it for the devil and his angels.
That's right.
Even though I lived like the devil for 34 years, praise God, He stood between me and hell.
That's right.
If He hadn't stood 20, I'd have made it, because I'm talking about headstrong. Amen, brother. And we both was, wasn't we, brother? I mean, nobody's going to tell me nothing. I mean, I'm the man's man. But praise God, I run into one who's a greater man than I am.
Right.
He convinced me that I was needing, I was lacking something, I was needing something, and I didn't get it. I was going to end up in this place, But thank God he stood between me and hell and kept me from going there. Now, there's people today, you know, they wasn't born this stupid to go in. It took years of education to get as stupid as they are. They think there's no God. They think that's a fairy tale book. They think somehow, you know, that they just got it made. They're going to live their life. They're going to do what they want to do. That's all true to a point. And that point is one day, Hebrews chapter 9 says, as it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. That's going to change every bit of that. I mean, they don't want to hear it. Now they put their finger in their ears. They run up on Stephen, stopped their ears, gnashed on him with their teeth, stoned him. He didn't change anything in the fact they sent him home a little early. Jesus stood up to greet him, amen. He said, I see heavens open, and Jesus stand at the right hand of God. He didn't change them.
That's right.
Now Saul, he got changed a little later after that. But the loneliest place there is a place called hell. Like I said, Jesus said he made it specifically for the devil and his angels.
That's right.
Amen. Now there's a lot of people already in hell right now, and I'll mention that here in just a minute. And there's people going to hell right now. There's somebody going to go to hell today. There'll be people going to hell all through the day, all through. I think that's one reason all these volcanoes are up, so many people going in.
Right.
There ain't enough rooms, they're just spilling out, make more room, amen. But anyway, Jesus talked about a place called heaven, and he said, I made heaven for you, John 14, verse 2.
Amen.
He said, I go away to make a place for you. Heaven is a prepared place too.
Right.
Jesus prepared heaven for us.
That's right.
That's where he wants you to spend eternity, because you're going to spend eternity either in hell or in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those leave me alone will be fulfilled if you end up in hell.
That's right.
And that'll be the loneliest place that you will have ever existed, period. No matter how old you are.
That's right.
Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Now get that distinction right there. I can't stop nobody from killing my body. That woman is reading that Bible, her little 7-month-old baby, you know, she is bulletproof. Isaiah 54, I believe it is, verse 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Yeah.
You can't kill me. You can kill my body.
Yeah, that's right.
But my soul, God gave me this soul. And my soul is eternal. And my soul is going to get another body, a glorified body. Me and Brother Donnie was talking about that yesterday. He said, how's that glorified body going to be? I said, well, it's going to be kind of like this. The disciples in the room and had the doors locked for fear of the Jews. And Jesus walked through the door and said, peace be unto you. Got anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a piece of honeycomb, and he ate it. That's a pretty good glorified body. I'm going to do some eating, amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to the married supper lamb, Bonnie.
Yeah.
I got a feeling it's going to be buffet, amen.
Yeah.
I mean, all you want, much you want, or anything you want, amen. But you know what? You can go to heaven. It's a privilege to be able to say, that's my home, amen. But the sad thing is, sin will keep you from going to heaven. But Jesus said, if you'll bring that sin to me, I will pardon you. I'll give you not only a pardon, I'll give you eternal life in the place of the wages of sin, which is death. The gift of God's eternal life through Christ Jesus the Lord. Romans 6:23. You can have eternal life in a home in heaven.
That's right.
Amen.
Or you can go in sin. One day sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death.
Yeah, that's right.
I couldn't. If you'd give me strychnine, I wouldn't die. My body would. Just temporal. Man, I don't know about y'all, but I've got enough cuts and bruises to prove mine's temporal, amen.
Amen.
But you know what? I'm still alive today. And I'll be alive forevermore. And you will be too.
Amen.
And that evermore is going to be spent up there.
Right.
Or it's going to be spent down there.
Right.
And Lord, as hard as he tried to warn people about hell, and as much as he tried to tell people about heaven, you still got to make the decision where you're going to spend eternity. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Now, he said, fear not them which kill the body, but after are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul, and he told you where, in hell. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28. Hell is a place that will consume you. You know, the people in hell right now, if we could somehow get in touch with them, and we can't a little bit there in Luke 16. Luke chapter 16, there's a man in hell. Jesus just pulled the lid off. It's not a parable. Allowed us to see what it's like in hell. And the Bible says about that man, he said, I'm tormented in this flame. He asked for just a drop of water.
That's right.
And got none. And then he asked that Lazarus could be sent to warn his family, yeah, lest they come to this awful place. He don't want no company.
That's
somebody
right.
Said, we're going to party down. I remember seeing a license plate one time. It said, heaven won't have men. Hell's afraid it won't take over. That's a big joke. You're not going to take over. You're just going to join the rest of the screaming people down there wishing they had one more chance, wishing they had one more opportunity to lay hold on eternal life and have a blessing in heaven of living with Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Oh my. One of the lonely reasons about hell will be no communication of any kind. No Facebook posting.
Right.
No MySpace. No texting. You know, we got a little bit of censorship down here. They won't let Trump tweet. They don't let anybody tweet. You know, it's one thing to be censored here, but it's all censored there. You can't write on the wall. You can't send a, what was that, what are they doing, a pecking, what was that, Morse code, no Morse code. No knocking on the wall, no writing on the wall, no way to get a hold of mom or dad, no way to get a hold of your son or daughter. I'm talking about one of the things about hell that makes it such a lonely place is there's no communication, period.
That's right.
You know, right now, you can talk to God.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, you can say, Lord, I know you love me.
Yeah.
Right now, you can say, Lord, I want to come live with you, but in hell, there will not be an answer.
That's right.
That's one of the terrible things about hell. No communication of any kind. God mentions that in Proverbs chapter 1. He said, I called, but you answered not. He said, I stretched out my hand, but you didn't regard it. Now God's telling in a loving way, He said, I'm here for you, but if you go there, I will never be able to help you.
That's right.
Now hell will deliver up those in it. You think it'd be better, but actually it gets worse. They get thrown in a lake of fire. And anyway, no communication. There are prayers being prayed right now in hell. Praying for mercy. Praying for one more chance. Praying that somehow they could get out of that place of the damned. But no communication in this place called hell. No communication with God. You know, God, He doesn't hear sinners unless the sinner wants to be forgiven. And He hears that prayer. But you can't pray to God unless you belong to God. He hears the prayers of His children. But that boy born blind, they said, we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper for Him, He heareth him. But no communication to God, to family, to friends, to anyone else. I'm talking about in hell. It's nothing but torment.
That's right. Amen.
No voicemail, no email, no Facebook, no internet, no nothing. No second chances or appeals. No letters are mailed or received. Your denials are not even considered. No second chances. They're all non-existent in hell. The reality of hell is it takes its toll on the people that are there. You know, you might be in denial right now. There's no such thing as a place called hell. Well,
that's right.
That's all right. You'll get it. I promise you this, everybody ends up in hell. They get on board with the fact there's a real hell. They get on board with the fact that it's hot and in the flames. They're tormented, and they're tormented night and day in that place. They understand it. This side, you might doubt it, but they don't doubt it there.
Right.
They're definitely on board with the fact there is a hell.
Amen.
And the Lord, as hard as He tried to warn people, and even preachers today, as hard as they try to warn people, sometimes you just can't keep people from going to hell. They just will not listen. Well, all the denials and all the deniers, they'll get on board if they end up in this place, the loneliest place I know of. There are no exits. There are no escapes. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You won't escape. Matter of fact, you'll be brought into the understanding to know that God is God, and He loved you, and you sinned against Him, and you sinned against yourself, and now you've got no one to blame but yourself for your demise. It's an eye-opening. Hell's an eye-opening place. I don't want to go there. I don't want you to go there. I done made preparation. I know I ain't going there, amen. Hallelujah.
Right.
For me to go there, Brother Ed, Jesus had to go with me, amen. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But no exits, no escapes, no flying away with the wings as a dove in this place called hell. My mother, I love my mother. I remember her saying this, Carolyn, kind of bitter, kind of sarcastic. She'd say, this is hell right here. Listen, this is a Sunday picnic compared to this place called hell.
That's right.
This place called hell, I pity the fool that ends up there. I can't help them if they end up there.
Right.
Brother Ed can't help them. You can't help them.
No, that's right.
God can't help them. It's a fit place for a devil. Mm-hmm. It's a fit place for his angels, but it's not a fit place for you.
That's right.
No one should even take a chance of ending up in this place right here. But if you do end up right there, you'll be the loneliest you've ever been in your entire life. No relief from the torments of hell. That man, that rich man, Luke 16:24, he mentioned, I'm tormented in these flames. No water was given. No mercy at all. No exceptions. I'm talking about, you gotta try real hard.
That's right.
I mean, you got to turn the Holy Spirit away. You got to deny the Word of God. You just got to, for lack of better words, just tell God, I'm going to hell and you ain't going to stop me. Because I'm just telling you, He don't want you to go. The Bible says that God's long-suffering usward, not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. He wants everybody saved. He wants everybody in heaven. But everybody's not going, but everybody should go. And I would to God that all would go. What a time we'd have, amen.
Right.
Oh, no relief. Eternity in the flames of hell. You know, you ought to go jump into an active volcano if you don't believe there's a real hell.
That's right.
Just to get an idea of just how terrible hell is, because it won't take you long.
No, it won't.
You won't even get close to the actual flames of that volcano and the molten lava. You'll be consumed. You won't even be dust and ashes. You'll just be a puff of smoke. Jesus went through hell on earth and then sent it down to hell itself just to take the keys of hell away from the devil. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus said, I am He that was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I got the keys of death and hell. Praise God that He's got them, Brother Mitchell.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, He's got to say now and who goes.
That's right.
He'll break his heart if he has to tell you, I never knew you. The Bible says the foundation of God standeth sure.
Amen.
And I believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. The foundation of God standeth sure, the Lord knoweth them that are His.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling them earlier this morning, Brother Mitchell, that I went to Lowe's the other day, bought some stuff. When I got out, they gave me a receipt, and it showed everything I bought on there.
Right.
It showed what I gave for. Praise God, there's a receipt in heaven. April 27, 1988, where God paid top dollar for a hell-deserving sinner like Eddie Wade. But I'll tell you what, buddy, he was willing to pay it, and I was willing to sell myself to him. Hey, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price.
Amen.
And won't you know, every breath I get is to give him glory and praise. I escaped that place called hell. My habitation now is a place called heaven. Hey, I'm rejoicing in my Savior every moment of the day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Man, what a blessing it is to know.
Yes.
Had the worst thing happen to you, just wake up in heaven. Amen.
Yes.
You think it'll be good, Sister Joanne?
Yes.
I'm going to have a good time. I may not be able to outrun you up there, but I'll tell you one thing, you'll know I'm close. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, man, if the gold does make a lap or two in glory land,
right,
make acquaintance with people who haven't seen a long time, have a time to spend with them, amen. Sit down, praise God, up there in a better place, not have a devil around. Oh, it's wonderful.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, I don't know why anybody takes a chance and end up in a place called hell when God has went through hell to give us a place called heaven.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my. Wish there wasn't a subject called hell. But I'll tell you right now, it's real. And the people that are there for eternity. You turn Jesus down and you'll go down one day.
That's right.
You'll go all the way down to a place called hell. And there you'll understand your mistake. Hell's a perfect place for those trying to live a life apart from Jesus.
That's right.
Now there's people, they don't want nothing to do with Jesus, Brother Mitchell. They don't want to hear His songs. They don't want you to give them a gospel tract. They don't want you to mention His name. They need it, but they don't want it.
That's right.
Well, hell's a perfect place for people like that, Brother Ed. They don't have to worry about nobody's, sir, can I invite you to church today? They don't have to worry about, sir, can I give you a gospel tract? They get their wish.
That's right.
Won't be none.
That's right.
Bonnie, I got a feeling they wish probably that maybe they took that tract.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they read that tract.
Amen.
Maybe they'd listen a little more. Because I'll tell you what, buddy, hell's a pretty good convention.
Yeah.
I don't think it takes no more than about a second for someone to realize just how big a mistake they made ending up in a place called hell. And there are people going there right now. And I'd give anything to be able to stop them, but I can't. And I know you would too. You remember with Lot there in Genesis chapter 19? He went to his son-in-laws and he said, get you out of this place. God's going to destroy it. And they just said, he's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
But it didn't take them too long, Brother Ed, to get
that's
the picture.
Right. That's it.
I mean, let Abraham look, and Sodom and Gomorrah looked like a big furnace, just big, like a drop of atom bomb. We went,
yeah, right.
And they went with it.
Amen.
That's right. That's one thing, get blowed up. I know China would like to blow us up, and they probably are. I know Russia would like to blow us up, and they probably are, but you know what, Carol? I'm still going to heaven.
That's right.
You know what I mean? That's pretty good, amen. Yeah,
good.
That makes you sound a whole lot better, won't it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know you're going to a better place. Paul said, depart, be of Christ, which is far better. Hey, and you know what? I'm like you. I'm stuck down here, but I'm not staying down here. I want you to know there's a day coming. I'm leaving, amen.
Amen.
Hey, I'm leaving on the first load too, amen. I want you to know I'm not going part of the way, Brother Ed. I'm going all the way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo!
Right.
You know, all these sniffling nose and colds and flus. I'm sure that ain't got a thing to do with all these illegals they're bringing in here. What is it, 600,000 every day or something like that? Ain't got a thing to do with that. Yeah.
Right.
You know what killed the native Indian? White man's diseases.
Yeah.
But we were already immune to it, see? But they wasn't. And you know, they've got measles and they've got, you know, colds and flus and COVID and all that stuff. And here we are. Yeah, bring them on. Hey, listen, I'm still going to heaven, amen.
Right.
I'm going first class too, girl. Hey, I've never flown an airplane in my life. I'm going to get on this one, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm going home when it shows up too. Glory to God. Oh my. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and at the latter day he'll stand upon this earth. He said, no worm consume his body. He said, yet in my flesh I'll see God. And listen, that's Job's resurrection. But praise God, I'm bypassing all of that. I want you know to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. We which are alive shall be caught up in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. And those which sleep in Jesus, he'll bring with him when he comes. Amen. Get that. Let that sink in. Amen. This place called hell, it's the loneliest place that anybody could end up in. I want you to know, buddy, there are people going there.
That's right.
All the churches seem like they've lost their voice. I don't think they preach on hell no more.
That's right.
I don't think they preach on sin no more.
Right.
But I hope this little church, I hope it remembers what its mission is.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, we're His witnesses.
That's right.
We're His watchmen.
Amen.
We're supposed to blow the trumpet as things get bad and tell people,
right,
hey, it's getting bad. You better get in. You better get ready. He's coming. Amen.
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 He's coming. The Bible said the day of the Lord will come. And He's not going to put it off. You forget about that song, wait a little longer. Sweet Jesus, He's coming. The day of the Lord will come. He's coming right on time. And I'm leaving right on time too, Brother Donnie.
Amen, brother.
There may not be no airheads up there, but there's some airhead hunters up there.
Amen.
Amen,
brother.
Yeah.
Yeah!
I don't know what all heaven's going to be like. That's the one thing.
Yeah.
Going to be plenty of fellowship.
There's
going to be plenty of singing. Oh, Brother Eddie may be able to sing up there. I don't know. There'll be a lot of singing up there, Brother Ed.
Yes, they will.
There'll be a lot of shouting up there.
Amen.
You know what we're going to say? Woo! Made it, amen.
Amen.
Saved it, Lord.
Yes,
in the bosom of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Boy, I'll tell you what, down in hell, none of that. No comfort. No consideration.
No.
Please don't go
to
this place called hell. The Bible says, work out your own salvation. Mm-hmm. I worked mine out.
Mm-hmm.
Took a little while. Wasn't like it was a cakewalk.
Amen.
Man, I had to stand toe to toe with the devil many times. One of the first things the devil told me, Brother Eric, he said, you didn't really get saved. Mm-hmm. I got to thinking,
he
never told me that before. I must got something.
Yeah.
That's the first time I ever heard that. I got saved. Here come the devil. You know, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and the Bible said after that 40 days he went in the wilderness and he never ate anything. Fasted.
Yeah.
Bonnie said afterwards he's hungry.
Yeah.
No devil shows up. The first thing the devil said, he said, if.
Yeah.
Now the devil's going to question you.
That's
he's
right.
going to try you.
That's
and you're
right.
supposed to withstand the devil.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to give any place to him.
No.
But the devil said to Jesus, if you're truly the Son of God, he said, command these rocks that may be bread that I may eat us out. That tells me the Lord can do that. My pastor said he believes when the disciples come to land, they found bread and fish on the fire.
Right.
He said he thought maybe that might have been when the Lord did change rocks into bread and fish. But anyway, listen to me. The devil questioned his sonship.
Yeah, that's right.
Three times he did. He's going to question yours.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Bible says not to be tossed to and fro with everyone a doctrine. But to study, show yourself approved.
Amen.
A workman need not be ashamed, right, dividing the word of truth. You've got to work out your own salvation yourself. There's not no shortcuts. Oh, Brother Eddie, I'll help you. I had to work mine out.
Right.
I will tell you this. That first year I read my Bible through, buddy, I knew a whole lot more than I did the year before that.
Amen.
I knew how wicked I was and how loving and merciful God was.
Yeah,
it caused me to appreciate Him more and caused me to hate all the things I'd done before I got saved anymore.
Amen.
I'm looking at the clock back and it's wearing me out. We're going to stop right here. And listen, we're fixing to give an invitation. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right.
Me and Donnie had a conversation yesterday. He said, why don't Jesus show up to me? And I said, because if He did, Donnie, He wouldn't have no faith. That's
right.
Why. Mm-hmm. Jesus told Thomas, He said, because you've seen, you believed.
Yeah, right.
He said, blessed are those that believe without seeing.
Amen.
That's faith.
Amen.
Faith is a substance of hope for the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
By it the elders attained a good report. When you show God faith, what's faith, Brother Eddie? You believe. He said, all that come to me, I will receive.
That's right.
Whosoever call upon me, it's rich and I'm rich in mercy. All that call upon me, I'll save them. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. It's faith.
Right.
All faith.
Right.
If you've got faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you've got more probably than anybody in this church right now.
That's right. Amen.
Faith is a serious substance.
Amen.
By the way, here's where faith comes from. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing by the Word of God. When you hear what Brother Eddie quote a verse, that's giving you a little faith. When you read your Bible, that's giving you a little faith. Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you be my disciples, continue you in my word, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? All the tricks of the devil, all the traps, all of the temptation of Satan. That word will help you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message today. We've done our part, Lord. We've delivered that which you gave to us to deliver. I pray, Father, Lord, that you would act upon what's been said. And Lord, what needs to be done today may be done by the hand of God. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Like this, everybody stand. Get Brother Jerry, please. Maybe Sister Sharon, if she feels like it, help him there. We're going to give an invitation. Now you know, and only you know, whether you need to come. But if you need to come, I'll tell you right now, old Brother Eddie, I'm here for you. I'll help you. One thing about it, I'm glad I know I'm saved.
Amen.
You need to know you're saved. And if you're not saved, do something about it today. I don't want you to go to hell today. I don't want you to end up in the place of the damned. Not when Jesus loves you, and I love you. But I'll tell you right now, make your Bible said, examine yourself, prove yourself, know yourself whether you be in Christ. Make sure of it. Make sure you know you're saved. Amen.